put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love our God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I sent Artemas unto thee, Antiochus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let others also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. I believe as a person is saved by the grace of God that we ought to always be ready to do God's will. Now watch out when you say that. The Lord surely will put you to a test. Now, that is a trial of your faith. Basically, what a test is, a trial of your faith. I was talking to Brother Mike Channel, who's been pastor now for a little while at Big Creek Baptist Church. He said that he kept praying that the Lord would send someone up in his neck of the woods, up in around Jackson, Michigan, to do a mission work. He said he did. He sent him. And it's pretty easy to pray. Now, Lord, you send Brother Adrian, Brother Jenny, or Bobby. And but it's a different thing when you pray and say, now Lord, send someone, and I'm willing if it's me. It's really different. But Brother Chandler said he'd be going up there to do mission work as a missionary of Faith Baptist Church at Waukegan. But I believe that when Paul is talking to Titus, and he's telling them some things, or telling Titus some things here to put them in mind of, or in remembrance of, and some things to ponder. And I believe that, first of all, that when Paul is talking to Titus, he tells them some things concerning government. He does this in the first verse. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey masters, to be ready to every good work. Now, Christians should support and back orderly government. And they shouldn't do the other. I believe that we have a Christian responsibility to God to obey the government that God has placed over us. The Christian should not be on the side of lawlessness, mob action, anarchy, and protest march. They should not be. You know, you see this quite often. People that have an identifying mark with some type of religion, and they seem to think that they have to be always where the action is, or always where they're protected. He's always there. And what I'm thinking about, you might be thinking about somebody else. Gladden, calling himself Reverend. And I believe that the Bible is real clear on this. The same basic truth is taught to us in Romans chapter 13. And I believe that God's people need to constantly be reminded of this. And this needs to be placed or put in our minds. Romans 13, it says every soul here, but I believe that especially God's people need to be mindful of this. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. That's just a simple way of saying that whosoever protests resists the government that God has established and put in is resisting God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Or that's judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. That's the way God designed it. Now man takes it sometimes and twists it and runs it. God takes a man and holds him to this line of this truth, but man will take this truth and sometimes twist it around to where that even though that he has been placed in that place of authority, he misuses that office. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? That is, the power that is ordained of God. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And God hath designed for it to be so. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, look at this, but also for conscience' sake. And I believe it is very important with the child of God because it is the will of God and the word of God and for conscience sake that we support and back the orderly government that God has ordained. That does not mean that we'll always agree with everything that goes on and everything that they do. So Christians, in essence, what Paul is saying to Titus, put them in mind that they should be law-abiding citizens. And I believe that all of us that are saved by the grace of God should be, and one of the strong points of our witnessing should be that we are law-abiding citizens. We ought to strive to live within the laws of the land. And this applies to all laws unless they conflict with the laws of God. Then God does not hold us to such. If they conflict with God's law. So first of all, Paul is telling Titus to put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, or to be subject to the government that God has ordained or God has placed in and put in position. But then he wants to remind them not only concerning government, but concerning people in general. Now, the way you act and what you say goes a long way in influencing people for either wrong or right. And I believe that not only should we support and back up orderly government that God has ordained and always be a law-abiding citizen, but I believe even as to how that we treat people and how that, and that is many ways that you can do different things to them, and especially even when you're speaking concerning them or speaking to them, we should be very careful to be to do it the way that God is designed in the Word of God. The first thing that he says is to speak evil of no man. The Christian should not speak evil of others. In essence, that's what he's saying. There should be no gossiping. There should be no repeating what we have heard about others. There should not be. Many times, secondhand gossip has caused a lot of people a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt and a lot of harm. And I believe that this is what Paul is telling Titus to be mindful of, and then he goes on and he says to them that they are not to be brawlers. In other words, to make peace, not to be a troublemaker, and not to be a peace disturber among the people where you work or your neighbors where you live. And I believe these are just some simple truths that Paul is showing us, and the opposite of that is to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And so one of the traits, and these are all contrary to the old nature. It is contrary to the nature to be a law-abiding citizen. It is contrary to the old nature to live peaceably with all men and not to strike out. In other words, Christians should be known as peaceable, peace-loving, and peace-making people. Now this especially ought to be true in the Lord's church. It ought to be true to all men. It ought to be with our neighbors. We ought not to always be in a squabble with your neighbor. And that is because you will not only hurt the cause of Christ, you'll ruin your influence and you'll ruin your witness and your testimony. Some people seem like they're always in a squabble wherever they go, and especially from church to church. They are not happy unless something is always stirred up or something is going on that keeps everybody all riled up. And I believe the Word of God warns us against this and speaks directly to this subject. But then he also, we should not, I believe that we ought not to be a person that is, we always call it a cranky person. I don't know what a cranky person is, but that's what we always call it. I don't know whether that's a choir or whatever that it is. And I believe that the attribute that we should have as a child of God is we should deal with others in meekness and gentleness. There shouldn't be that wrathful attitude and vengeful attitude that the world is always meeting out almost to everyone that they come into contact with. Now he gets into the subject and he says, now remind them of these two things. Submit to government, live peaceably with all men, and to be a peacemaker. And that's two good things to remember. But then he says, also call to their mind and cause them to remember concerning salvation. And he deals with several verses here talking about salvation, basically from verse 3 on down through the rest of this chapter. And he always, and Paul always, deals with it from this aspect. Now you remind those Christians about what they were. In other words, what you were before God saved you by his grace. And here's what he said. For we ourselves also. And he's not saying now you used to be. But he said, for we ourselves also. In essence, what Paul is saying, this is true of every person that's been saved by the grace of God. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. Now look, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And he just got through talking about here how that they ought to live. And he said, remind them as Christians that they once were foolish and disobedient to God. But we'll see that this was the way of life before we were saved. And now that looks foolish to us. It used to be that the way we are now looked foolish to us. And Paul talks about that when he writes his letter to the Corinthian church. But now you look back and you see someone acting like that and you'll say, isn't that foolish? Isn't it foolish to act that way? Then he talked about deceived and serving lusts and pleasures. Now we know that that deception was by the devil. And really what we did is we served ourselves and our own lusts. Now that's the way we used to be. That's the way we used to live. This is why we need to be put in remembrance of this. It is so easy to revert back to some of the old ways. You know, we're to deny self, serve God. And I think Jesus talked about this much through his teaching. We're denying ourselves even to the point of serving others. I thought about, there's a song that we used to sing, Others. Lord, help me live for others that I may live for thee, like thee. I'm thinking of all these songs for some reason. But he also said, remind them that not only were they deceived and served lusts and pleasures, but remind them of the malice and the envy that they had. And how that even there was times that they hated other people. Now he said, remind them of that. And isn't it amazing how that since we've been delivered from that, been saved by the grace of God, that there's times that the devil will cause that old thought to come. And the thought will manifest itself maybe many ways, but the old devil will try to put that thought there. I hate that person. But you can't maintain that way of thinking, and you can't stay that way, because the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart, and you've been saved by the grace of God. And he goes on and says, and look how that Paul always fixes it. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after, I'm reminded of this. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And look at this. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now look at this. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh. That's what Paul was saying to Titus in the third chapter there. And he says, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now what Paul said to Titus, he said in verse 4, but after, and what he said here to the Ephesians, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I believe that it's good for us to be reminded, as we study the Word of God, what we used to be. Before God saved us by His marvelous grace. You know, it's sometimes there's things that it's hard for me to remember. But I believe that we need to recall, and I don't mean dwell on it or major on it, but we need to be able to recall God's great salvation, what He has saved us from, and what He has done for us, and how He has changed our lives. Now, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. In His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, he says here, Paul, when he writes to the church today, remember. And he goes into a lot of things. And I believe the same thing when he is writing to Titus. He said, put them in mind of what they used to be, and put them in mind now of what they are, since the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appear. To be mindful of that. I'm thankful that by the grace of God I'm not what I used to be. Aren't you? Every one of you that are saved, aren't you? By the grace of God, you're not what you used to be. And I'm thankful by the grace of God I am what I am. And I'm thankful by the grace of God I'm not yet what I'm going to be one day. But it's good to be reminded of this. Sometimes young people probably become aggravated when parents try to emphasize to them some rules or of morals and conduct and say, now here's the way it used to be with us, and here's what happened to us. And sometimes young people are aggravated and say, oh, here we go again. Well, here we go again. As far as the preaching of God's Word, it's a constant reminder. Amen. And I believe that we need to be constantly reminded. Amen. Of what God has so graciously done for us. And you'll see now how in the salvation, verse 3, he talks about our past, and then he talks about God in his marvelous greatness and power, and through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, that is, the person of Christ, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Paul is mindful of this when he said, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." The person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice in this subject how he just brings it, there's a comma there, our Savior toward men appeared, comma, and then he gets right in this. He said, "Not by works of righteousness which we've done." So he's constantly reminding them that their salvation is not because of themselves. And the cause is not with them. And the basis of it is not in what we've done. But it is in what God has done for us. And he says, "But according to his mercy." And Paul said there in Ephesians 2, when he talked about the past, or past, and he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." And notice what he says here. "But according to his mercy, he saved." And I believe that tonight that it is merely by the mercy of Almighty God that we're saved by the grace of God. God being a merciful God in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is through the new birth. Now we need to be reminded of this. And we need to keep this constantly before us. And I believe that when we remember what we used to be, now first of all, he told us what we ought to be doing as children of God. And he then says, now here's what you used to be, and here's the great salvation that God has provided for you in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The means whereby that we can carry out our lives for the glory of God. I mentioned this several times during the meeting that there is no such thing as a person that is saved by the grace of God that cannot live for the Lord. It wouldn't be much of a salvation, would it? And it's definitely not the salvation that God has provided for his people. We got this thing all confused about sinless perfection. No, we don't believe in sinless perfection. We know that. And somehow or other, we got this thing all confused in sinless perfection and living a godly life by the grace of God and by the power of God is the way that it's done. And I think sometimes that when we people somehow or other, because they know they cannot live a sinless life, somehow or other have the idea that they can't live a life for the Lord, for his honor and his glory and his praise. But that's not the design of our salvation. And I believe that we're not in this passage of Scripture, but this is exactly what he's calling the Word of God. In essence, what he's saying here, works will not suffice. Anything that you do will not suffice for your salvation. And it is not on your salvation is not on the basis of what you have done or you are doing or you're going to do to be saved. The basis of your salvation is on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was ordained of God. One of the things I think basically to ask people is, how were you saved? By what you do or by what Jesus Christ did at Calvary? And of course many think there is a mixture of the two. But you'll notice here when he talks about this renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I believe that there are many truths here, that we're saved according to his mercy. It's by regeneration. I believe here that it's always shown through Jesus Christ as being our Savior, that we're justified by grace, and that we're heirs, and that we have the hope of eternal life. There are many truths. This is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now he's talking about some points to ponder here. The first point to ponder is salvation is nowise by works. It involves the mercy of God, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, and justification by faith. That's what he says in verse 5 through 7. But also we ought to remember that faith and good works go together. That's what he's saying here in verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which I believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I believe that those who are saved should be careful always to maintain good works, because good works are the fruit of salvation, and they prove to other people that our salvation is genuine. James says this. Show me your faith without your works. Do it. And I'll show you my faith by my works. And I believe that James makes this very clear, that is, to man. And we stand justified before men by our good works, because they can't see our hearts. They can't see the faith that has been implanted in us. But they can see the works that, by the grace of God, that we're able to maintain and to do. But then he also reminds them of some things. And this is a lesson here, or some points to ponder, I believe, that many times are hard for us. And many times people are not willing to abide by these two verses. Verse 9 and verse 10. Now look what he says. But avoid foolish questions. Sometimes I think that's the form. there's some doozies that are asked on that thing that there's no answer to. Merely speculation and someone's own ideas or thoughts. You're pressed hard to find something that would even look close to a scripture that would be like it. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. And I believe that he's talking about here some things that we ought not to spend a lot of time on, and we ought to avoid, because there's many other things that we ought to spend time on in the Word of God. And then perhaps the hardest of them all is verse 10. A man that is a heretic. You say, what's a heretic? Well, it says, after the first and second admonition, reject. One that is admonished and admonished and admonished, and yet will not hear. Will not hear God's word, or will not hear the truth. In other words, don't waste too much time on heretics. Now, why shouldn't we? Because heretics are self-willed and unreasonable. Now, we should admonish them once and even twice, but after that, what he's saying is, let them alone. Because you know what you'll do? You'll spend your time arguing with a heretic. That's exactly what you'll do. You'll spend your time arguing, which is not profitable. I think this is hard. time spent arguing with heretics usually is time wasted. You never get anywhere with them. The time can be much more properly used in telling other people about these things that he has cautioned us and told us to keep in mind and to keep in remembrance. And how that we ought to adhere this admonishment. For here's what he says in verse 11, goes with this. Knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. And that is strong doctrine, but I believe that Paul is admonishing Titus here and telling him, these are some things that I want you to remind the people of and to keep constantly in mind. These are hard things. I, through the years, have met some people that they were not going to change. That doesn't limit God at all. I'm not talking about God. I'm not just talking about what Paul said to Titus. A lot of instructions that Paul gave to Titus and Timothy and some of the others, they're hard. And the reason they are, because they're contrary many times to our reasoning and our thinking as to how that we think that it ought to be done. So these are some things I believe that we need to be admonished in as people that are saved by the grace of God, concerning the government, concerning people in general, concerning salvation, and some things to ponder. He said, and let others also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with thee salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Now, I believe we ought to always be ready to do what God wants us to do, to do His will. And I know many times that much of that is said here in this is brought about in the day, we're made willing in the day of His power. But I believe that we have a responsibility to God as people that have been born again by the grace of God, to follow the Lord. I believe we constantly need to always be ready to follow Him and to serve Him. Now this may seem foreign to you if you're not saved. And the greatest need that you have is to be brought to a place of repentance and faith, to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then and only then can you be admonished concerning these things and from the Word of God pertaining to these things. We're going to stand singing Him in closing. If the Lord is speaking to someone here tonight, and this church invites you to come as we stand singing.